Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Hutcherson and Heather Kitching contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is supported by charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep us on the air. You can also subscribe to CDs or cassettes of all our programs there. To receive our weekly email alerts or the next This Way Out update, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on CJAM Windsor, Ontario, WZKW Kingsville, Ohio, KBOO Portland, Oregon, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we're all going to stay tuned.
This is WPKM Bridgeport at 89.5 FM and WPKM in Montauk at 88.7 FM. We hope you'll stay tuned and hear Counterpoint coming up next, the weekly issues and public affairs program. But before that, we always like to bring you some messages of import. And one thing I'll just say off the bat before we get started with another announcement is that we need some phone help this evening. For our fun drive. So if you're free and know what, where we are, and even if you don't, you want to volunteer to help either tonight or in the future over the next few weeks, we could certainly use any volunteers out there to help answer phones and generally do some work that needs to get done here related to the fun drive so we can collect the money and stay on the air. That's the object. We're going to be talking about the fun drive in a little bit. But if you do have time to volunteer for phone help this evening or any other time, call 203-331-9756. That's 203-331-9756. We have a very special guest coming up on Counterpoint tonight, so I hope you'll stay with us. We have Ron Suskind, the author of a new book titled The Way of the World, A Story of Truth and Hope in an Age of Extremism. Ron Suskind being a winner of the Pulitzer Prize, who's here with us tonight to talk about this book, the Bush administration policies of deception that were employed during the run-up to the Iraq War, and some interesting revelations made in this book that you may have heard about but have faded from the headlines very quickly. We're going to take a closer look. So stay tuned for Ron Suskind a little bit later on. Counterpoint actually coming up right after 8, so stay with us.
Is it about oil?
Regime change is welcome in whatever form it takes.
I'm not saying that they believed it was about oil. I'm saying it is about oil and that I believe it was necessary to get Saddam out of there.
One of the world's most respected authorities on resource geopolitics, Michael T. Clare, is coming to New Haven on Saturday, September 27th to discuss how increased competition for diminishing energy resources is reshaping the world's economic and political landscape that may well lead to a future of increased global instability and endless war. This public forum dealing with one of the most pressing issues in this year's presidential election campaign is titled Oil, War, and the Future of American Foreign Policy, and will be held from 3 to 5:30 p.m. Saturday, September 27th at the Arts Hall at the Educational Center for the Arts, 55 Audubon Street, corner of Orange Street and New Haven, Connecticut. The discussion will be preceded by a screening of the film documentary Blood and Oil, The Dangers and Consequences of America's Dependency on Foreign Petroleum, based on Clare's book. Net proceeds from the event will benefit Squeaky Wheel Productions, nonprofit distributor of Between the Lines radio news magazine, broadcast nationwide, and co-sponsors the Greater New Haven Peace Council and the New Haven León, Nicaragua Sister City Project. Seating is limited and advance reservations are recommended. For more information, directions, or to make reservations, call area code 203 268-8446 or visit us on the web at squeakywheel.net. That's Michael Clare discussing the global energy crisis, U.S. foreign policy, and the presidential election, Saturday, September 27th from 3 to 5:30 p.m. in New Haven. For more information and reservations, call 203-268-8446 or visit squeakywheel.net.
And if we continue to rely on military force to solve our resource needs, we're in for a very bloody and dangerous and painful century indeed.
And that's this Saturday, so we hope you'll give a call, make reservations, or come on down to the Arts Hall at the ECA, Educational Center for the Arts in New Haven. That's 55 Audubon Street, New Haven. That's this Saturday at 3 p.m. Be there or be square, and we'll say more about that a little later on tonight. Right now, stay tuned for Counterpoint coming up next.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes and airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I am a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world serve its own needs. Dummy serve your own needs. Speed it up and not speed.
Good evening and welcome to Counterpoint. My name is Scott Harris. Here Monday evenings between 8 and 10 p.m. We're glad you could join us this evening. We have a very special guest, Ron Suskind, Pulitzer Prize winning author and journalist, will be here in just a moment. But I'll also let you know that we are in the midst of a fund drive, and we're going to be offering Ron Suskind's book, his newest book, The Way of the World, The Story of Truth and Hope in an Age of Extremism, after we conclude our interview with Ron. And later tonight, we're going to be talking with Robert Borsage of the Campaign for America's Future, and we've got some critical assessments of this nearly trillion-dollar investment bank bailout that's being proposed by the White House with no strings attached. But there are those thinking about all the strings that should be attached to such a huge sum of taxpayer money going to investment banks and related financial industries. So that's coming up tonight. And right now, I want to introduce Ron Suskind, author and Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. He was a senior national affairs writer with the Wall Street Journal from 1993 to 2000. His books include The 1% Doctrine on the War Against Terrorism, and also The Price of Loyalty, an insider's look at the Bush administration through the eyes of former Bush Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, and also his book titled A Hope in the Unseen, following the journey of an honor student from inner city to the Ivy Leagues at Brown University. And tonight we're going to be discussing Ron Suskind's newest book, again titled The Way of the World, A Story of Truth and Hope in an Age of Extremism, which examines the connections between decisions made by U.S. leaders, namely the Bush administration, and the consequences of those decisions on people around the globe in the post-9/11 world. Ron, thanks so much for being here with us tonight.
It's great to be here, Scott.
Your book is certainly put together in a very interesting way, because it's not just sort of headlines and explanations and journalistic scoops on things that were happening behind the scenes, but it actually interweaves into these world-shaking events the effect on individuals' lives. People, you know, not in the news, not in the headlines, but just ordinary people who you met along the way. And maybe we could begin, as you begin in this book, to talk about a guy named Usman Khosa, a graduate of Connecticut College just down the street from us in New London, who is working in Washington, D.C. in a summer job. And he's detained by the Secret Service and interrogated in the White House basement. Tell us how you came up with that as the beginning of this book, where there are some very important revelations about what the Bush administration was doing covertly to justify the Iraq War and a whole lot of other things.
Well, you know, it's really, I felt like it was really kind of a connected era kind of study and investigation. You know, I think the world is different than, you know, when I was in high school or college. We are sort of now in a kind of arabesque of common people and world leaders, and a big part of the book was to show how, in fact, some of the things that are done by the duly elected, those in power, actually do affect real lives, especially in an era when individuals are empowered in ways that they haven't been before. And I think that, you know, what's the purpose of any investigation of a place and time? It's to show how the lives of individuals, of people, are affected by the great sweeping events of a particular period. The opening scene is this extraordinary young man, Usman Khosa, who I met along the way, actually by happenstance, and he is a real American dreamer. He comes to America, to Connecticut College from Lahore, Pakistan, where he's a sterling student, the pride of Lahore, and he ends up at Connecticut College and blazes through there. You know, he's a top student there as well, and he's an economic consultant in Washington. He's 24. He's walking to the White House on a particular day, a sunny day, in fact, when he is identified. He's fooling with his iPod. He's, let's just say, the wrong nationality to be doing that near the White House, at least in the eyes of the Secret Service, driven, you know, clearly by reflex and suspicion. He is taken down. They tear off his backpack, and then they drag him into an interrogation room underneath the White House. There's one under the lawn on the west, near the West Gate. And Usman goes through a day of utter hell. He's a brilliant kid, and actually his father's a leading police official in Pakistan, and you're in his shoes as you see just how harrowing it is to be treated with the sort of impulse of suspicion when the consequences might be so enormous, where he could end up in a place like Guantanamo Bay, for that matter. Of course, right above him, George Bush is going through his day as well, and you see them in a kind of split screen narratively. And you see the gap between Bush speaking about the war on terror and American virtue and the things that we're doing that are working, while Usman, this sort of American dreamer, is really having his spirit crushed just a few feet below. And what's interesting, Scott, is that that's really a starting point for Usman's journey, and in a way for so much of the book. The disclosures that are driving the news cycles, you know, certainly take us up to present, but many of them are from the years since 9/11, 2003, 2006. And what Usman and the other characters show in terms of their journey is how they're using so much that has been so startling in many ways dispiriting about the United States is reflex response to this era of sweeping rhetoric and often dark side practices. They're almost using that as a starting point to say, all right, now I'm going to embrace my own moral code and try to essentially guide my own path to a life of some worth in an era in which there are enormous divides that need to be bridged. And Usman, over the coming years, as we follow him, really tries to almost reimagine himself in America, a land he'd long dreamed about, to understand, does he have a place here? And what would that be? And can he restore his native sense of possibility, of hope? And will that be tied to America? Do American values really have resonance in this era? That's one of the great questions of the book, and you find out walking in the shoes of Usman and some of the others.
Usman, you talked to him since the publication of the book?
Sure, yeah.
And has his faith at all been restored? Is he kind of shaky about his future in this country, being a Pakistani native and someone who a lot of people will just look at the color of his skin and kind of cringe in fear?
Well, you know, in some ways, Usman ends up being a leader in the book. Some might say a more dynamic leader than George Bush. You know, Usman is fine. He'll be living here in America. He met a nice young lady. They'll be married soon, and he'll be settling here in the United States. He goes on an extraordinary, you know, cross-country journey. He goes back to Pakistan. He returns to America, really trying to search for his identity. But, yeah, he's doing fine. And there's an amazing moment that happens at Connecticut College, just briefly, that Usman talks to me about just before the book is finished, where he talks about what really made a difference in his life. And when he was a freshman at Connecticut College, even though he wore a blazer at a sort of an English-style prep school in Pakistan, when he gets to college, as is often the case, he moves into the sort of identity kind of emphasis of freshman year, you know, where do I fit, what's my identity, and he becomes sort of Mr. Muslim at Connecticut College. He's got a shalwar kameez, a traditional South Asian dress, a little beard, he's deeply involved in the life of faith, in a way representing Islam. There are not that many Muslim kids at the school. And on 9/11, in this posture, he walks into the student center at Connecticut College late in the day. Of course, it's filled with mostly Caucasian kids, you know, mostly Christian, of course, some Jewish. And he's standing there as on the big screen, someone from the Taliban, their representative, steps up there and says, you know, sort of, it wasn't us that was behind 9/11. Now, virtually everyone at that point knows he's lying. There's some boos and hisses. Usman is standing there thinking, my God, this man could be my father or my cousin. He's dressed identically to Usman. And at that point, he feels enormous isolation and fear. That maybe this was a wrong choice, this country. In fact, even before that, Usman and another kid, and another religious Muslim kid, were even thinking about going back to Afghanistan to go and taste of the life of faith and its purity, feeling that people should be able to follow their religion in whatever way they see fit. Very much a kind of young man's move, a search for things that are pure and essential. And he's standing there as he wonders really how he'll fight his way out of this room. He's frozen with a kind of gripping terror. He sees a group of kids starting to come for him. Out of the corner of his eye, a group of students moving swiftly across the room. And one of them, a girl, is just right in his face. He's frozen. And she says, this must be terrible for you. Is there anything we can do to help? And one after another, the kids come up saying, geez, we're so sorry that you have to endure this, and can we do anything to make it easier? How does it feel for you? Usman is startled, of course, and he says, looking back, that was really the turning point. He could have gone in almost any direction. He could have ended up back in Afghanistan, for that matter, and Pakistan. Instead, he saw a kind of large-hearted quality that is so much a part of the American firmament, and that's why he's here now. And basically casting his lot and his future in America. He calls that the human solution. He says, I could have gone in a number of ways, but I moved toward a kind of sunlight, and it's because of those kids who came up to me the human solution. It's a very evocative moment.
That's very powerful, and it speaks to the complexity of this country. And this book is a tapestry of different stories of hate, and that kind of expression of a love and respect and dignity that he experienced at the school. Ron, I wanted to talk about really one of the most publicized and important revelations in your book, The Way of the World, which was the charge made that the White House instructed the CIA to forge a letter stating that the 9/11 hijacker, Mohammed Atta, had trained in Iraq and that Saddam Hussein had received uranium from Niger. The story later appeared in the U.S. and British media in December 2003, as you write, but was kind of eclipsed by the capture of Saddam Hussein in that hole in the ground that they found him back then. But tell us a little bit about Iraqi intelligence chief Tahir Habush, who you wrote about, and the information he supplied to the CIA and British intelligence that there was no weapons of mass destruction, and this was months before the Bush administration launched the war against Iraq.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary thing that is still considered top secret by the government. That's why they're busy trying to deny it and say, please go away. They kept it secret for 5 years. In January of 2003, 3 months before the invasion, a back channel was opened up with this fellow Habush, the Iraq intelligence chief under Saddam currently at that point. He slips out of Baghdad to Amman, Jordan, where a little safe house is set up, and he meets with a British intelligence official, a high-ranking one, who's really carrying this forward on behalf of both the British and the U.S. governments. This is a guy, Mike Shipster, the Brit, who knew Habush through various sort of ins and outs. And Habush says that there are no WMD. He echoes, in fact, what a fellow named Sabri, who was the Iraq foreign minister, had said several months before. Sabri was dismissed by President Bush and Cheney. But here Habush, the actual intelligence chief, is saying this with even more detail. And of course, as the intelligence chief, he himself is someone who oversees the biological program. He's got real credibility. It's hard, of course, for anyone in a role like that to essentially prove the negative, to prove weapons, he assures us, are not there. In fact, are not there. And so, there's a debate that rages inside of the government. Is it denial and deception? Can he be believed? But along with that, he says something that is actually fresh and quite new, something else that turns out to be true, of course, is that he gets us into the mind of Saddam Hussein. He says, here's what Saddam is thinking. He can't imagine the U.S. would actually want his country. Islamic radicalism is happening something else. That's what 9/11 seemed to show as the great threat. It's not in Iraq. And beyond that, he is really fearful of the Iranians and their nascent nuclear program. That's why Saddam is acting so oddly in those months, essentially to hide things that don't exist. You know, he doesn't want people, especially in the region and the Iranians, his arch enemies, to know that he's a toothless tiger. That, of course, explains everything that we were seeing and puzzled by in those months leading up to the war. All this is briefed to the White House several months before the invasion, a month before Colin Powell goes in front of the UN. He was not graced, Powell, with this bit of intelligence. The White House sees that its case is being undercut by Habush. They cut off the channel to him, the communications channel, but he now is essentially an asset of the U.S. We have a deal with him. Baghdad does fall in mid-March, late March when the U.S. invades. Habush does slip out to a safe house in Amman, Jordan. We end up paying him $5 million, which is what we call a life payment. We don't really use him for much. He's in a way kind of radioactive as it becomes clear to all of the world that there are no WMD. And, of course, as someone at CIA said, we were terrified Habush would pop up on the screen because, of course, he had told us all that ahead of time. And then in the fall of 2003, after that bad summer with Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame and all of the hubbub, where it becomes clear to everyone that the White House may have taken America to war under false pretenses, there's great panic in the executive branch, the president, the vice president, and a plan is hatched to use Habush to create a letter, a handwritten letter, 2 months before 9/11, ostensibly from Habush to Saddam, talking about Mohammed Atta training in Iraq before the 9/11 attacks, this backdated, fabricated letter, and also that Saddam's out buying uranium from Niger, just for good measure, all in the letter. It's a fabrication. It does pop up as ordered in December of 2003, slips into the bloodstream of the global news cycle, and it ends up all over the world. Tom Brokaw talks about it on Meet the Press. William Safire writes a column about it. Of course, CNN, O'Reilly, the O'Reilly factor hits it, you know, beats it for 5 days straight. That's illegal. That's it's illegal to run a disinformation campaign on the American public using an intelligence service. It's against U.S. law. And so that's why there's now two investigations, one in the House, one in the Senate, that are plodding along trying to gather evidence, albeit it's not easy to do. There's resistance inside of the administration. Remember with that Joe Wilson-Valerie Plame thing, they needed to call in a special prosecutor. But, you know, ultimately I think it will be the bookending, this particular tale of Habush for the Bush administration. By virtue of how they compromised so many American principles, some of it born of a kind of improvisational urgency, but some of it born of a lack of clarity about the fact that America's power in the world is really about being true to its oaths, transparency, justice, rule of law, a notion of accountability of the duly elected to the governed, all of those things that really the world prizes that we essentially compromised, often with very little effect, very little value, if you will, whether it's that or torture, Guantanamo, Abu Ghraib. And the book is so much about what we do now. How do we go about the process of repairing our moral authority, recovering moral energy, which certainly the United States always has had some issues with doing certain things to protect its power, especially in the 20th century and onward as we became more powerful. But in this period of a global hearts and minds struggle, being true to one's oath, showing clearly to the vast, I call them non-voting constituencies around the world in many, many countries, what the United States actually represents, not just by word but by deed, is really the key to not only our success in the coming century, but really our safety. You know, when small groups of people can now get their hands on the destructive power, nuclear, biological, chemical weapons, once reserved for nations, it's so important to think clearly about how the United States essentially uses the power of sort of clarified moral authority, almost bringing up our game, so that we can really deal with the issues, many issues, that the world is desperately in need of us to lead on.
We're speaking with Pulitzer Prize-winning author and journalist Ron Suskind about his new book, The Way of the World, A Story of Truth and Hope in an Age of Extremism. And Ron, I went to the CIA website, you know, to get the reaction to your story, as many other people have seen. They labeled it offensive and misleading, and, of course, all these denials that you mentioned a moment ago.
All to be expected.
All to be expected from the spook agency.
They're actually, it's interesting, Scott, they are, if they feel people's lives are at risk, and there was talk before this book came out, I had discussions with various of several of the sources about the safety of Habush once the book comes out. If there's a sense that Habush could be killed, or this is compromising an ongoing top secret threat of intelligence, the practice is for the CIA to mislead.
Right. Well, I wanted to ask you, I mean, despite the best efforts of people like Ohio Democrat Dennis Kucinich and Washington Representative Jim McDermott, there won't be any impeachment proceedings before President Bush and Dick Cheney leave office. And my question to you is, given the smoking guns that you have found here, are there alternate methods for accountability here that will repair the damage that you talk about in your book that needs to be acknowledged? There needs to be accountability by rights, by reckoning here. Many people in this country want accountability, and they want a clean house and make sure this doesn't happen again with another future president because of the precedent set here. What do you envision happening if there really is no accountability while Mr. Bush, Mr. Cheney are in office? Anything possible when they leave?
Yeah, well, there is some. Actually, Joe Biden, in a speech a few weeks ago, I think maybe made sort of a veiled reference to some of these issues, where he talked about the fact that if he and Barack Obama take office in January, they will move forward in all these investigations. There are some precedents for presidents being investigated after they leave office. There's some sort of legal framework for that, at least. And I think that, they're thinking, as other people have, that the key to restoring America's moral position in the world is, in fact, a kind of openness, the sort of hard facts of let's get it out on the table and let's act accordingly, a bit of truth and even reconciliation and reparation. That's how countries restore moral authority. It's frankly not that different for the lives of individuals or that of a nation. You know, it's about admitting what went wrong. It's about taking responsibility for it. It's about saying, here's the lessons learned that will not be repeated for everyone to see. And now here we move forward based on that to a kind of a brighter future. And in so many parts of the world, they're all but waiting for us to please do that so that essentially we are again more of the country that people have long imagined us to be, you know, the country that does the Marshall Plan, that repairs Europe, or the Peace Corps, or so many things that, or so many moments where Americans sacrificed, you know, their lives, not just blood and treasure, but essentially America's very heart to lift the world. We're not really so much that country now, in terms of our relations with so much of the world. They see us as angry, often reckless, sort of bull in a china shop quality. And again, saying this but doing that, sweeping rhetoric, lofty, if you will, and then dark side practices that we figure, well, who cares, no one will ever catch us. That's really not the way the world works now. You know, we're moving ever more toward open source, transparency, sunlight. The United States, meanwhile, has moved in this era toward a kind of almost Nixonian prizing of secrecy. Cheney certainly was there in that presidency, too. Interestingly, he feels the failure, and has said this, of Watergate was not what Nixon did, but that he was essentially overbriefed, that he should not have been told about the break-in, thereby he would never have made the moves he did, which got him into trouble. He has done the same thing with this president, Cheney has, to make sure that this president doesn't get overbriefed. Part of the idea, really, deep down, is to separate this administration from basic accountability, sort of a holy writ in America. And you know, it's extraordinary to watch what's unfolding now, even in light of Watergate. I mean, the message of Watergate to the world is that no one, even the world's most powerful man, the president, is above the law. Richard Nixon or the guy who picks up the garbage in front of the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue are utterly equivalent, equal in every way in the eyes of the law. That was an incredibly important message to America in the decades since Watergate. Essentially, we're sending out almost an opposite message now.
Ron, just to go back to the CIA sources, is there any chance, given that they've kind of hemmed and hawed, and despite your transcripts of their interviews with you kind of proving the case that they had said and corroborated these allegations about what Mr. Habush was being used for, or the forged documents here, is there any chance Congress will subpoena them and get them under oath so that they really have to tell the truth?
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the thing that's going on now. You know, it's not as easy an A plus B equals C, though, as one might think. Interestingly, it's really just one guy who backs away from what he said. You know, there are hours and hours of interviews here. Nobody in the know really believes that the CIA sources didn't say just what they said. You know, the question in some ways is what is the goal of the investigations? They really should be focusing immediately on the White House now, instead of getting into the gray and cloudy planet of the CIA, where, you know, people spend years trying to get things clearly rendered and often fail. You know, it's interesting because, you know, in some ways the book is about the battle between power and its prerogatives, its reflexes, often self-defensive, and truth. And the book makes a recommendation that truth really does matter. It's not just a matter of, well, everyone lies and, you know, it's all about message and illusion and denial and getting away with what you can get away with or what your lawyer says you're able to get away with and win at any cost. It's that's really not the American tradition, at least in so many cases when we've been at our best. And in a way, the book, why does the word hope is in there, Scott, is that so many of the characters, you know, whether it's Rolf Maut Larsen, who is a government official who takes extraordinary risks throughout the years that I'm watching him with him, you know, because he's the guy who tries to get to the uranium before the terrorists do. He's the head of WMD terrorism for the government, and he acts with a kind of headlong kind of audacity to say, I'm going to do whatever's necessary, kick down any door, push through any wall. Again, based on the idea that we need to embrace what's not only known but knowable and not be afraid of the truth, all the way down to this extraordinary attorney who I follow across several years, a solo operator out of Chicago, who keeps alive this lawyer, a detainee in Guantanamo Bay named Al-Jazawi, who is someone no one really knows, but he, in fact, he's a baker from Afghanistan. He's innocent. And I say this because that is absolutely clearly offered through evidence in the book. You know, many of the detainees in Guantanamo or other secret prisons around the world, the United States, again, using a kind of a misapplied version of secrecy, says, well, it's all classified and you just have to trust us. You can't know what are in those files. Well, I used my many intelligence sources to actually get into the file on this fellow, Jazawi, who's been in Guantanamo since 2002. Often very sick, and I got the evidence. He is innocent, period, paragraph. There's simply nothing there. There's one little scrap of nothingness that's been sort of reflected 100 times. He, in fact, Jazawi, who is on death's door for years, really all but kept alive by his lawyer, ends up being the detainee that spurs the famous Supreme Court case of Boumediene, which, of course, has its ruling this June, extending habeas corpus rights, finally, the holy writ of habeas, to the Guantanamo detainees. Yet, Jazawi, of course, is still in prison. He may die there soon. But, you know, in a way, the story is about what just a few people can do. It's Jazawi and his advocate, Candace, who managed to create a moment of history where the United States embraces late but finally some of its self-correcting processes, and that's so much a part of what this book is about. How those processes are operating, can they operate now, are they effective? They're the things that help keep the democracy alive, and individuals, a few individuals, manage to do that.
We're speaking with Ron Suskind about his new book, The Way of the World, A Story of Truth and Hope in an Age of Extremism. In just a couple of more minutes, Ron, if you have time,
yeah.
I wanted to cover just briefly an important part of the book where you discuss what happened in the last days of the life of former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto before her assassination in December 2007. She had been in Washington, and there were some important negotiations that happened behind the scenes between her and former Pakistani president, General Musharraf. But you have some important things to say about Benazir Bhutto and her relationship with Washington and figures in with her assassination.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I was with Bhutto a great many times in the last 6 months of her life in London and Washington and ultimately in Quetta in Pakistan, where we spent a long day together with many hours of heart-to-heart exchanges just 10 days before she perishes. And what's interesting is Bhutto is as well an experiment in whether or not American values carry resonance anymore in the world. She is, for all intents and purposes, a vessel of these stated principles and ideals. What she learns, though, as so many of the characters, concepts, principles, democracy, transparency, rule of law, are in this period often hollow. And at the end of the day, what she realizes, and this is a hard day that we spend in Pakistan together, is that the United States has really left her unprotected at the end of her life. They never made the call. She says Cheney never made the call he promised he'd make to Musharraf, saying, hey, boy, that's what she puts it, her safety, Bhutto's safety, is your responsibility. You're the dictator. Make sure she makes it to election day or there will be grievous consequences for you, Musharraf. She said, you know, it's amazing that that call was never made, in which she realizes, and it's a hard truth, it's that the United States has essentially chosen illegitimate power of a dictator over the stated principles of Bhutto, who, after all, make no mistake, she's corrupt right down to her socks, and she knows it. But at the end of her life, she actually kind of starts, as she says, believing in these things that I've long espoused, these ideals of what democracy can bring. She says, actually, it works if you really trust it. And at the end of her life, she was actually on this amazing upsurge, some of it because of Musharraf's missteps, putting her under house arrest, the terrible Karachi explosion, all those things which improbably make Bhutto a kind of vessel, even a martyr, for the democratic ideals of individual freedom and empowerment. The United States either doesn't recognize this or simply doesn't care. And at day's end, Bhutto, just a few days before her death, talks with me and others in this the home of this warlord in Quetta. We've been chased around that day by suicide bombers. It's something I promised my wife I'd never do again. She says, you know, I am right now essentially unprotectable. You know, because of the way things have gone, my numbers are sky high. Musharraf's have plummeted. There's no way we're going to have coexistence, a brokered power-sharing arrangement the United States wanted. All it wanted Bhutto to do, essentially, was offer a democratic patina to a dictator so he could continue his rule, a kind of cynical play that the United States brokered so that Bhutto ends up going back. That's untenable at this point. And she says, now I have two opponents. The entire Musharraf regime, which is now thinking that I will wash them away by appropriate electoral mandate, and the jihadist. And no one needs to explain how many unholy alliances between dictatorial power and Islamic violence have really ruled events in this country. Of course, it's what killed her father, the former president. And it's interesting to see exactly both the tragic turn, but also the possibility through Bhutto of American ideals. She was poised to be somebody who might have changed that region. I think so much of the mayhem now in Pakistan would have been avoided if the United States had just trusted its basic creed rather than getting into the dark side in the back room, saying that, well, the only place you win against barbarians is a place where you yourselves act in a barbaric way.
Well, thank you for going into the details of Benazir Bhutto and your time with her in her final days. Ron, just one last quick thing, if I could, and that is I wanted to end our discussion tonight by talking about your research assistant, Greg Jackson, who I read in the acknowledgments of your book, was detained by federal agents, and his notes were confiscated. And I want to talk about that in the context of how America has changed. We just saw at the Republican Convention in Minneapolis, St. Paul, journalists arrested, nonviolent protesters gassed and thrown in jail by the hundreds, detained until the Republican convention was over. And these kind of tactics have been used against, legal dissenters in this country since before 9/11. I saw it myself back at the protests, you know, that happened right after Seattle and the protests against the World Trade Organization. Maybe you could say a word about your assistant, Greg Jackson, why he was detained, and what it says about the America of this post-9/11 era.
Well, you know, it's one in which we've lost our way, and much to the delight of our enemies, of the terror networks and even the rogue states, say, huh, see, it's just as we said, Your values are actually fragile. You yourselves are hypocritical. Look what you've done. Now you're just so much more like us. And it's interesting because, you know, whether it's me or James Risen at the New York Times or Dana Priest at the Washington Post, we've all experienced the same thing. Here we've brought forth disclosures that actually, I think fairly said, have really nourished public dialogue so people know the arc of this era, what's been done. The people, after all, in this system are in charge. The holy writ, if you will, is informed consent, with an emphasis on the word informed. It's the core principle of accountability in a democracy. Of course, all of our sources have been hunted for years with, you know, lie detector tests and people being pinned down. And here you have a case where Greg, my assistant, is up just doing some color reporting, if you will, on what's going on at the UN, a day that Ahmadinejad and Bush are speaking in September of 2007. He is detained. His notes are taken. They ask him, you know, who are you? He says, I'm an assistant to Ron Suskind. And they said, oh, really, what's his book about? Who are his sources? Then they take his notes. Various federal authorities, intelligence officials, as well as local law enforcement. And then that's a violation of his First Amendment rights. And ultimately, his First and Fourth Amendment rights, I think, are violated. You know, he's a brilliant, wonderful kid who was a great assistant. He went to Harvard. He's 25 now. And, you know, it's interesting because also this story is in its way heartening, though, because I think especially young people that I meet are seeing some of this very, very clearly. You know, especially now that might be interesting in here when the path to investment banking seems to be closing off. And many of them are saying, you know, I want to live a worthwhile life, a life of purpose. And Greg, of course, the next morning after his terrible ordeal, he stays up all of that night writing thousands of words of specific recollection. And the next morning he's at his desk ready to go. You know, we as a nation, and I think this is part of when we're at our best, most thoroughly rendering in this American model the power of human possibility, you know, we are amazingly adaptable. And I think right now, as I go around America, I see people in a way kind of waking up to say, you know, actually in this system, I'm in charge, I believe. The people, the way the founders constructed this extraordinary, albeit yet unfinished, experiment in American self-governance, the people are the sovereign. And I think that one of the things you are finding is that they're asking themselves, how do I take control of this ship of state, of this government that essentially carries my name and my ideals? And let me just finish with one interesting thing that I say at the very, very end of the book is, you know, with all due respect to Tom Friedman, who is a terrific guy and journalist, that, you know, the world actually isn't flat. Some things have provided a kind of flattening in terms of the global news cycles and the way information is passed, but it remains one of peaks and valleys. The difference is those in the valleys and the lowlands of the world are alert. Every dusty village is now hooked up with internet and cable. They're seeing with great alacrity and sometimes unsettling clarity the invidious comparisons between haves and have-nots, some with so much, others with nothing. And they're saying to themselves, when do I get the chance for a better life, to make my children's lives better than mine? And some of them are arming themselves or moving to virulent ideologies, some of them faith-based. The future will be won by whatever entity, whatever nation, whatever idea is most thoroughly effective in helping the valleys of the world rise. That's where the power is now, evermore, in the lowlands. And the book is very much about that. You know, that's actually, if people say, how do I end up being safe? That's how you end up being safe, where you get intelligence from people who, frankly, no longer want America to fail to get its comeuppance, but maybe even want us, at least our values, to succeed. And what I say at the end is that this era really starts with 9/11. And the 9/11 Commission says with some, I think, precision that it was a failure of imagination, 9/11, a failure to imagine the malevolence and ingenuity of our enemies. But now, actually, our vulnerability is a different kind of failure of imagination, a failure to imagine who we might yet become, who America might yet become, and what that country might look like, not only here but around the world, leading by example, showing a new face to the world. And I say to people, not only to think of how you'll feel as an American that day, but how you'll feel that day as a human being. And I think so much of this election season is really about that issue. In a way, imagining who we might yet become and acting accordingly. And the book ends precisely that way.
Ron, thank you so much for spending the time you have with us this evening to talk about these important issues from a perspective that we don't often get. And the book we've been discussing is titled The Way of the World, A Story of Truth and Hope in an Age of Extremism. And the message of your book reminds me a lot of what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, which was, the arc of history is long, but it bends towards justice. And
God, I could just hug you. It's one of my favorite lines.
Yeah,
can I tell you something interesting? It's actually originally was something very similar was said by Theodore Parker, the 19th century white progressive. And what that says to me is, though King, of course, you know, says it in a way that brings often tears to my eyes, that we all are really in a kind of human pageant where the truths as to what has always worked in the way of the world, when the world has worked, are really quite clear. It's a question of courage. Will we step up now at a moment of great need?
Well, I'm filled with optimism after reading this book and our conversation.
I hope people would be.
Yeah.
My wife said to me, don't write another Break Your Heart book. Find some hope here. I know it's out there.
Yeah.
Full steam ahead.
Thanks again, Ron. It's been great to talk with you. I hope we can talk again soon.
Yeah, anytime, Scott. Be well.
Take care. Bye-bye. Ron Suskind, author and Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, talking about his book, The Way of the World, The Story of Truth and Hope in an Age of Extremism. And this is WPKN in Bridgeport. My name is Scott Harris, and you can listen to us at 89.5 FM and 88.7 FM at our Montauk Long Island transmitter. We are a listener-sponsored non-commercial radio station, and I'm late beginning our fund drive section of this program. We are in the midst of a fund drive, but very honored to have Ron Suskind here to talk about this book and about many of the issues we discuss here weekly on this show and many other programs on this station, where we talk about the issues of peace and justice, issues that don't get a fair shake in a lot of other corporate media. And I'm happy that we're offering this evening copies of Ron Suskind's book, The Way of the World, a very important work. If you heard any part of the last 45 minutes of our discussion with Ron Suskind, you'll know it's filled with a lot of details about the inner workings and secrets of the Bush administration that he dug up, but also filled with a lot of the human dimension of what's going on in this country and around the world, and the optimism that Ron Suskind takes that this country can recover, it can heal itself from the destruction of the last 8 years. And I know I've got John Laser as Tally this evening, and I'll run down some of the things that we're offering tonight, including the book, The Way of the World. And I'll mention, is that you, John?
Yeah, I'm here, Scott. How are you?
Okay, thanks for being there tonight.
Not a problem.
And I'm going to give the phone number out, but I want to make an addendum to what we're offering. John, if you just want to take this down. This 45-minute interview that we just did with Ron Suskind that ate into our fun drive time a little bit here, as is sometimes the case, I want to offer a copy of that interview along with a book for a $75 contribution.
Okay.
All right, so $50 for the book. But if you want the interview, I think a pretty important interview to share with your family and friends. It was one that filled me with a lot of hope. If you want to share that with others that you know and care about, throw in an extra $25 for the station, and we'll give you the copy of the interview with Ron Suskind as well. But I should mention the number here. It's 203-384-9756. 203-384-9756. As I said, we had the opportunity tonight to speak with Ron Suskind for 45 minutes on these topics. We're generally on other corporate media, he gets 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 4 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, but not 45 minutes. and certainly not to get in as much detail as he did with us this evening. And there was certainly a lot of coverage of his book, but it disappeared within a week. And these revelations deserve to be investigated in terms of the CIA operatives who told him that the Bush administration was forging documents to bolster its case against Iraq and the alleged weapons of mass destruction that were phonied up. Well, these are things that need to be investigated. He says himself the CIA doing such work on behalf of the White House was certainly, by definition, an impeachable offense. We have no impeachment process right now. We won't have one before Mr. Bush leaves office. But the paper trail of what happened is in part contained in this book, and it needs to be discussed, and certainly we need as citizens to know about this so that we can press our elected officials to get to the bottom of this, get it out in the open, let the sunlight disinfect, as they say, and let justice prevail and accountability reign, because there's been no accountability either in the foreign policy disasters of this administration nor the economic disaster that we're living through right now. Please call us at 203-384-9756. Make a pledge. Get this book. I've actually got three copies I brought in with me tonight that can be mailed out immediately. But we'll get them all out eventually. I know we'll probably get find good homes for more than three of these books tonight. But if you want to add another $25 to your donation to the radio station for a total of $75 or more, we'll send you both the a copy of the audio CD of the interview as well as the book.
And if you call right now, Scott, you will get a chance to talk to me because Nasmo is on the other line already.
Okay.
With our very first pledge. Thank you for that. And like I said, if you call 203-384-9756, I'll answer the phone. And we will try to hold down the fort as best we can over here.
203-384-9756. I hope there are many people listening who tuned in for this interview with Ron Suskind because I was moved by it. You know, I do a lot of interviews every week, and I have to say that what he said, the way he said it, the message of this book is one of here's the evidence of the malfeasance and the lies and everything else that we've suffered through in this administration. But the essential thing that we discussed here, especially towards the end of our interview tonight, was that there is a lot of reason to hope. But we as citizens have to certainly believe in this country, its future. What we as a people can repair in terms of damage from the last 8 years and come out better on the other side of. And that's a great message to have this year, any year. I mean, after what we've all been through in this country, it gives me a little tears in my eyes thinking about hope because we all need it so desperately right now. And I'm very happy Ron came to us with that message this evening. But Play a part in strengthening this station so we can bring you voices such as Ron Suskind in the future. 203-384-9756. 203-384-9756. That's the number. Call and pledge any amount you can afford. Get this book. Get the audio CD copy of this interview that you just heard tonight or maybe heard part of. But by all means, understand that the media outlets that can feature this kind of in-depth discussion, important discussion, it's really not possible without your support because there are few and far between outlets that can, has the time and the flexibility to give you a 45-minute interview with Ron Suskind. And most of the interviews that I sort of saw and researched out before I had my discussion tonight with Ron, you know, where they were 2, 3, 5 minutes long. They weren't long at all. They were very short. And there are exceptions, of course, but by and large, it's something not accessible to the majority of the people in this country who are, you know, looking at tabloids on the supermarket stand or getting their news and snippets from, the 3-4 minute newscast at the top of the hour on the radios. PKN prides itself on being something different. Please support that philosophy of radio that is this station, WPKN in Bridgeport at 89.5 FM and WPKM in Montauk, our new transmitter facility out there in Montauk, Long Island, New York, support us being on these airwaves through the internet and syndicated shows like our show Between the Lines. That all comes out of this place, and we need your support. 203-384-9756. Make a call. Pledge to this station. And I am going to run down some of the other premiums we have, but I want to emphasize that this book is important to read. It seems to me that it's essential reading. If you really want a basis to understand what transgressions we've suffered through in this Bush administration, and also a glimpse at how we can restore our country's reputation as a nation of laws, respect for human rights, and opposition to a unitary executive branch, quote-unquote, authoritarian leaders without checks and balances, which is, I think, what we've all been living through. 203-384-9756. Give a call and pledge what you can. Help this station strengthen itself, our ability to pay bills, and remain on these airwaves with your call and a pledge of any amount. And I'm right now kind of looking for my notes here on our premiums that we're offering. But I know, John, you've got a list of them back there. So if I falter here, you can help bail me out. But it's 203-384-9756. In case you're just tuning in, my name is Scott Harris, and we're here honored and privileged to be here every Monday night to talk about a whole lot of issues of the day from perspectives that don't ordinarily get in the corporate media. And that's kind of my mantra, but it's true. And we are privileged to be here through your support. If you didn't call and you didn't pledge a couple of times a year, we would not be able to remain on these airwaves. It's just that simple. And we're asking for your support tonight. And we think this evening's interview with Ron Suskind is a good example of the work that is done here on this program and other shows throughout the broadcast week, throughout the year, when we're talking about information and public affairs and culture and music. This station features a lot that's off the radar screen of the mainstream, and that's why this station deserves your support. And hopefully, if you're not just a brand new listener catching us for the first time, you understand that, and you will phone us and make a pledge of what you can afford. 203-384-9756. 203-384-9756. Give us a call and pledge. Again, it's a $50 contribution or more, and we'll send you a copy of the book, The Way of the World, Ron Suskind's new book, A Story of Truth and Hope in an Age of Extremism. We'll also send you, for an additional $25 contribution or more to the station, totaling $75 plus, we'll send you a copy of the interview, the 45-minute interview we conducted with Ron Suskind about the book and about things that have happened after the book was published, because some interesting things have occurred that he discussed with us tonight. 203-384-9756. Make that call right now and understand your support for this brand of listener-supported radio and is essential for our continued survival and healthy thriving here on this on these airwaves.
And, Scott, we're just playing telephone tag in the back. There's John Laser and myself, and I just wanted to mention this. We had Thomas Hanford from Goshen call up with a very generous donation in memory of his friend David Brusco, who passed away just last month. And he really enjoyed your interviews. He's a music lover, or was a music lover, and he really appreciates the radio station. So we thank Mr. Hanford for that, in his memory of his friend. I think he said he was 57 or 59, David Brusco. And, well, we've lost one listener, but probably we will gain another. But 203.
Thank you for that generous donation in memory of a friend. We can all identify with that. Thank you for thinking of him and thinking of us all at the same time. Appreciate it. 203-384-9756. We need to hear from more of our listeners tonight. And again, in support of the notion of investigative journalism, which is certainly an art, a business that is quickly losing ground here in this country. And we have friends like Greg Palast and Ron Suskind here who talk about how they've been challenged and arrested, and you know, things have happened to them as a result of their investigative work. it's getting harder and harder to do the people's business in terms of investigative reporting in this country. And it is a testament to the kind of ugly turn the country has taken after 9/11. Please call us and support our ability here to bring you voices of dissent on a regular basis. Those who don't toe the Wall Street line that everything's just rosy. Those who don't toe the line of the Pentagon and the CIA and the White House that the war in Iraq is going just great, or the war in Afghanistan, or whatever wars we're fighting. There are critical voices out there raising essential questions about the blood and treasure that's being expended in our name. That is really what our forefathers, the people who founded this country, envisioned: an aggressive and strong press that could question those in power and hold them accountable. We are losing that at a very alarming rate in this country. And small independent media outlets like WPKN, in their own unique and small-scale way, are trying to fill that void. Please call and support it by phoning 203-384-9756. We really need to hear from many more of you.
We have a couple people to thank. We have Peter from Goshen, who took the combo package there. He's very appreciative of your work. And we have Betsy and Bill from Norwalk, who are also taking the combo book and audio CD.
That's great. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
And, Scott, I've been listening to you for years now, in addition to finally becoming a programmer here part-time, so to speak. And just so that everybody knows, you know, Scott does this, you know, totally on his own time. We are 100% volunteer organization. We do have 1.5 paid, staff here that keeps the lights on and empties the trash, so to speak. But everybody else here is, you know, strictly here because we want to be. Nasmo and I will be on later on, and, you know, we're doing 10 to 2. And you know, I have a real job during the day. He'll be on until 4 as my peanut gallery back here is correcting me. But we're here because we want to be. We're here because we enjoy what we're doing. We don't get paid for this. I know, you know, you put a lot of effort into your show, and, you know, it shows, obviously. You don't hear this type of radio anywhere these days, to be quite honest with you. So, you know, we do need your support, 203-384-9756. You don't get any commercials from us. We are 100% listener supported, and, you know, we are a community radio station, so, you know, we cover Fairfield County, we get up to New Haven County, we get up to that county where Jonathan Parson lives over there, up by Stonington on WPKM. The signal gets up to Rhode Island. I know we get up to Litchfield, which is, as I was corrected earlier, where Goshen is. So we also get as far as Hartford on occasion, because I have driven up that way and listened to PKN all the way. So we need your support from all those places, and certainly online at WPKN.org. So, please, 203-384-9756.
Thank you for that, John. And welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here and doing some programming here at the station. And that's an interesting aspect of PKN, that we do have an open door, that people come through the door, as I did many years ago, was fortunate to get a slot here to do this public affairs stuff, which has evolved over the years. And many of you have been on the journey with me on these airwaves. But it is a privilege to be here. And we all need to chip in together to make sure PKN stays strong and on these airwaves, and with the ability to pay our bills. Your dollars, your few dollars that you pledge tonight, will help us get through the next 6 months. But we really do need to hear from as many as possible.
And, you know,
call us at 203-384-9756. Get this book. I got a few other premium items that we're going to be offering this evening. I'll mention those in a moment. But the book we just talked about, Ron Suskind's The Way of the World, The Story of Truth and Hope in an Age of Extremism, is a great revelation of the abuses of power and hope for the future, all in one little package, and it's great. And we're offering the book for a $50 or more contribution, and a $25 added to that will get you a copy of the 45-minute interview with Ron that we conducted tonight.
And for a $60 pledge, Scott, they can get the backpack to put the book in.
Yeah, go through those if you would, John. That'd be great.
So for a $60 pledge, we have the WPKN backpack. It's a solid, heavy-duty pack with double compartments, padded straps, and the PKN logo. We We also have a tote bag, more aka a boat bag if you're into sailing. Large heavy-duty beige canvas bag with black straps, a zip top, and PKM logo. And for $50, the baseball cap. We have a water filter this year for our $150 pledge. And we have a stainless steel water bottle. It's an 18-ounce lightweight clean canteen water bottle with a flat screw top for easy carrying for a $55 pledge. And I was in one of the health food stores not too long ago, and I got the lecture on why the clean canteen is actually better than the SIG bottle, which is what I'm carrying around with me over here, because the clean canteen is all stainless steel versus the SIG bottles, which are aluminum with some sort of polymer coating on top of the on the inside. So.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, that's good to know.
Yes.
No, the whole issue of water is becoming so essential. I mean, I always thought it was crazy when people started buying water, and then, of course, later on I started buying it myself, but all the millions of barrels of oil that go into creating plastic and the crazy prices they're charging for, you know, what is essentially filtered water, you could do it in your house. And why not? Fill your own stainless steel canteen, bring it around with you, and you've got a cheaper, more environmentally smart way to go about it. And, hey, you know, I plan to get one of those real soon myself because, you know, you may not trust the water system. It's all connected, of course, to, you know, government is your enemy and you can't trust the water system anymore. We could get into many layers of this, but we won't. We'll just offer the antidotes to some of these evils here, the water filter and the thermos stainless steel thermos bottle to carry it around.
Yep.
Call us at 203-384-9756, 203-384-9756. This is WPKN in Bridgeport, listener-sponsored radio. We're in the midst of our fall fund drive, and we are asking for your contributions. We're offering premiums by way of the book that we've discussed tonight with Pulitzer Prize-winning author Ron Suskind, titled The Way of the World, A Story of Truth and Hope in an Age of Extremism, where Ron makes some, you know, startling revelations about the Bush administration's plan to employ Iraqi intelligence chief Tahir Habush 3 months before the Iraq war. He told British intelligence that there was no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. That was ignored, essentially. The information provided by this Iraqi intelligence chief was deep-sixed 3 months before the war was launched. They didn't want to hear that information. And, of course, Bush and Cheney continued on that propaganda line for many years, probably right up to the present moment.
Oh, right up to the present moment,
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wonder how many of our listeners remember that that poor excuse for a joke that George Bush pulled in the White House when he was crawling around on the carpet saying, oh, no weapons of mass destruction here.
Oh, that thing at the reporters gathering.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a bad joke. You know? Very, very poor joke.
Exceptionally poor taste.
Yeah. At any rate, that the other essential and startling revelation in this book by Ron Suskind, The Way of the World, was the charge that the White House had instructed the CIA to forge a letter stating that the 9/11 hijacker, Mohammed Atta, had trained in Saddam Hussein's Iraq. Months before the 9/11 attacks on Washington, D.C. and New York City, and that Saddam Hussein had received uranium from Niger with help from Al-Qaeda. This is a forged document that apparently was leaked to the British press and then later to the U.S. press, and certainly was a way the Bush administration was trying to justify the war after the fact. This was released to the press by way of agents back in December of 2003, and that was about 7 or 8 months after the war began.
And I'm actually starting to read stories now, Scott, about who the suspected people were who actually broke into the offices in Italy to sort of steal the letterhead.
Right. I've read those stories going back a bunch of years, and it is, there are a lot of mysteries still out there, and I'm happy to say Ron Suskind actually unraveled some of these already in this book, and you can take a look at it, you can read it, and understand and advocate what Congress and other sort of courts of law should be investigating. Accountability, you know, seems to be out of style in this country. No one's accountable.
Well,
the war was fought and thousands have died, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis have died. No accountability for this horrendous hoax And apparently, you know, this forged document that Ron Suskind talks about here that the CIA was charged with creating wasn't aimed at Iraq. It wasn't aimed at Iran. It wasn't aimed at the United Nations. It wasn't aimed at people over in Pakistan. This forged document was aimed at the American people. It was aimed to propagandize you and me to believe that the Bush administration was correct in its phony war.
So, Scott, I'd like to think that our listeners are a little bit more hopefully intelligent than that, and hopefully a little bit more accountable than our current administration, and they call us at 203-384-9756. Because this is news and information you really just don't get anywhere else. You certainly aren't going to get this anywhere else in the dial. My favorite NPR, which isn't not really public radio anymore, if it ever was, and not the liberal sort of station that our friends in Congress like to paint them as. They're just a different slant on the conservative view these days.
203-384-9756. I haven't heard that phone ring in a while, and I know there are many of you who are listening to this interview with Ron Suskind, and I know many of you who were riveted and didn't want to tune away. And we hope, given the importance of some of the things that Ron said tonight in terms of the future and what we're going to do to repair the damage and understand what the damage is, of course, before we can repair it, that is essential. We hope you'll support this station in bringing these voices to the airwaves here, which we can only do with your help, your monetary contributions.
And
call us at 203-384-9756. Make that phone ring. Help us pay the bills. Help keep WPCAN's, almost 45-year tradition going on strong here on these airwaves at 89.5 FM and now 88.7 FM in Long Island, New York.
Yep.
203-384-9756. Thanks, John.
And NASMO's getting a little bored back here, everybody. We need to keep them occupied.
203-384-9756. We repeat that number because we think you can't reach us because you've forgotten it.
203.
The repetition thing.
384.
We don't like it, but make that call, and we'll hold off on the number for a little bit.
9756.
Well, I do want to run down some of the things that we're offering this evening. We are offering, as I've said, The Way of the World, a story of truth, hope, and an age of extremism by Pulitzer Prize-winning author Ron Suskind, who we talked to tonight. The book, $50 contribution or more, will get you that book. $25 added to that will get you the interview as well, a CD, audio CD copy of that 45-minute interview with Ron Suskind. We also have the Blood and Oil DVD that we talked about last week based on Michael Clare's book. It's going to be in New Haven this Saturday, an event that our group that distributes Between the Lines Radio News Magazine is sponsoring. I'll tell you more about that later. But Blood and Oil, a brand-new film documentary, a $50 contribution will get you a copy of that. The history of how the United States foreign policy is tied directly with the quest for oil access to petroleum. We also have the Michael Clare book, Rising Power, Shrinking Planet, and that's his latest book about his real concern that unless we change direction and get alternative fuels online very quickly, our nation may be engaged with the rest of the world in endless wars fighting over access to oil. We also have Howard Zinn, the award-winning historian, who is the author of People's History of the United States. Many of you are familiar or have that book on your shelf. We are giving a copy of his latest work, which is an illustrated book titled People's History of the American Empire, which is a wonderful book. We had Howard Zinn talking about that last spring on this program. And we're offering it again because it was so popular last time. We gave many, many copies away. And it's basically done in the style of Mouse. You'll know the book Mouse. And 203-384-9756. That's Art Spiegelberg's book, Mouse. And he's done many other books since then. But it's illustrated literature was what it is. And this is a wonderful book for anybody.
I've read other works by Howard Zinn, especially People's History of the United States, and it's a very easy read. And, Howard Zinn is, very, very, presents a little bit different version of history that you don't get in your history books at school. And, it's a different view on, how things really are in this country and in the world. So.
203-384-9756. Again, Art Spiegelman, if you're familiar with his book, Mouse, This book by Howard Zinn is done in that same style, the illustrated literature style. 203-384-9756. We also have music CDs that we're offering tonight. The Songs of Phil Oakes, a collection of his greatest hits of anti-war and social justice songs. Phil Oakes, known to many of you, of course, over the years, who we lost him at an early age from suicide. But $50 will get you his collection of great songs. We also have a CD dedicated to the humor and insight of George Carlin, another person who we lost recently in this last year. George Carlin's a CD, a $50 contribution, would you get you copy of that? And lastly, on the CD music CD list, we have Bob Marley, a 5-CD box set of the essential Bob Marley, something that we should all have on our collections. $150 contribution will get you a copy of the Bob Marley 5-CD box set. These are all things that we're providing tonight as incentive to say thank you for your contribution. But, you know, at the bottom of it all is we want this station to move on, stay healthy and strong, remain on these airwaves so we can bring you the voices, as we did tonight, of Ron Suskind talking about the debacle of this current administration and how, as a nation, we need to move forward to repair the damage and why Ron Suskind believes there's so much hope out there for making those changes. 203-384-9756. Please make that call. We have lots of great things we're offering tonight for specialized, tailored to this audience. Please call us at 203-384-9756.
And thank you, Arlene from Hamden, who says, keep up the great work, Scott. And she's also going to be getting the Suskind book and the CD as well.
Great. Thank you for shipping in the money you have for WPKN's survival, and that's what it is. We so much appreciate your help. 203-384-9756. Give a call right now to us, and just say hi. Say, you know, I can chip in a few bucks. It doesn't have to be for some of these bigger ticket items. It could just be a few dollars you want to throw in because you believe in the station, you believe in our mission to really provide a platform for the voiceless,
yeah,
who can't make it other places, can't send their messages out to other radio outlets in any meaningful way. Maybe in a 30-second soundbite, but certainly nothing like 45 minutes on the air to talk about the state of the world and get into the intricacies and the complexities of that world. Please call us at 203-384-9756 and know that, you know, you are really essential to our survival. We have no investment banks like the Lehman Brothers. We have no Morgan Stanley.
There's much left of them at the moment.
We have
Scott.
No AIG, American International Group Insurance Company, sort of underwriting this station. We don't have these guys writing checks to us for one damn good reason that we all know tonight. But we never had them here. And we don't want them here because those guys would ask for a quid pro quo. And we know that you, our listeners, really know. You don't want any quid pro quo. You just want to support what we're doing, maybe suggest things from time to time or come into the studios and have ideas for doing broadcasts yourself. I mean, this is an open community institution, and you are part of us. We are part of you. And these kinds of media institutions are so quickly disappearing with the consolidation of the media under Bill Clinton in the 1996 Telecommunications Act, which really gave the green light for the consolidation of ownership of so much of our commercial media. It has really choked the life out of a lot of diversity that we get as American citizens here. Diversity in entertainment, diversity in music, diversity in music, of course, political points of view. And WPKN fills a vacuum here in our small way. Please support us at 203-384-9756.
And if we could ask that last caller to call back, we had a little bit of a fat finger incident over here. It was the nut behind the with the handset.
You need a little bit more information. That was lost with that nut in the finger there?
That's correct.
Okay. 203-384-9756. Give us a call, the last caller, as well as all you who haven't called yet. We really need to hear from you. And we've got, as I said, a number of premiums, but I'm featuring tonight, of course, our interview and the book by Ron Suskind, The Way of the World, A Story of Truth and Hope in an Age of Extremism, The Revelations About Forged CIA Documents, an impeachable offense that Ron Suskind documents in transcripts of interviews after some of his CIA intelligence retirees, sources who basically, in the light of day, kind of backed off. Well, he's got transcripts of what they said, and what happens next is congressional investigations under oath to get these people out there to tell their story under threat of prosecution for fabrication and for perjury. 203-384-9756. There needs to be a cleaning of the house. There needs to be a fumigation of that White House for all the lies and the blood they've spilled. 203-384-9756. Get a copy of this book and know as a citizen what's been committed in your name. And take action if you think it's appropriate. Call your legislators and tell them what you think. But get the raw and essential information from this book, from the interview we just did with Ron Suskind. Call us at 203-384-9756.
And again, Scott, for those listeners who may not be able to afford that, any amount is okay. Everything from a couple dollars, as you said, $5, all the way on up to, however generous you care to feel. If you'd like, we can give you multiple envelopes, and you can pay, as money becomes available. Certainly, we can put it on credit cards. We accept plastic as well. So, we try and make it as easy as possible. And if you're listening to us online at WPKN.org, you can certainly pledge securely and safely with PayPal, and I believe with credit card as well, too, online. And, please support us.
We really need to hear from many more people, and I know there are people, listeners out there who tune in every week and listen to this program in part or in its entirety, or listen to Between the Lines, or listen to a lot of the other programs here, the interviews that happen on a daily basis with musicians and poets, and the live performances that are happening at a faster clip and more regular basis. We have Bill Nolan doing just great blues musicians here almost every Sunday doing live performances. There's so many interesting and wonderful things that happen in this station. A lot of it you tune to just because of its unpredictability. You keep it fixed to this frequency because, hey, you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know what interesting guests and music you'll discover.
Scott, we need callers in a hurry. JF has pulled out a knife, and I'm worried that he's about to commit Harry Caray over here.
Well, we don't want that. And 2-0, there's enough violence and bloodshed in the world. We really want to avoid that. And plus, we have a new carpet in there.
Actually, I don't think so. We don't have new carpet. We don't spend our money frivolously on such things as
okay, well, forget I said that.
Hurry.
203-384-9756. Please give us a call. You can understand that we really want to get this fund drive over with as quickly as possible. And if you're listening now and you appreciate what we do on these airwaves and you want to support us, make the call right now. Don't wait another week or two. It's just not making sense to anybody or dollars. So call us at 203-384-9756. And I just want to run down some of the points that are covered in this book in summary fashion from the publisher. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Ron Suskind has helped define many of the decade's most important issues. His two New York Times bestsellers, The Price of Loyalty in 2004 and The 1% Doctrine in 2006, have vividly shaped assessments of George W. Bush, the modern presidency, the war on terror, and America's role in the world. Now in his definitive work on an era just ending and the one fast unfolding, he takes readers into uncharted territory. Suskind's stunning and revelatory book, The Way of the World, A Story of Truth and Hope in an Age of Extremism, is a unique work, a sweeping global tour of the ties that bind humanity, emotional and intensely personal, that also delivers the election year's most explosive news. In his masterful, moving narrative, with a cast of characters stretching from the White House to Downing Street, from the hills of Afghanistan to the prison in Guantanamo Bay, Mr. Suskind reveals how the United States lost its moral authority and the way of Americans, one by one, are struggling to get it back. And the disclosures include President Bush learned there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq months before the war from an extraordinary confidential informant, Iraq's head of the intelligence agency, who the U.S. resettled in a secret location after the invasion and paid him $5 million in hush money.
This is a lot of information to absorb, and we couldn't really do justice to everything that is revealed in this book tonight in our 45-minute interview. We just really scratched the surface. So get a copy of the book and get a summary of what we discussed. Some of the things that occurred after the book was published in the interview. But a $50 contribution will get you the book. Add 25 and you get a copy of the interview. Call us right now and pledge what you can. 203-384-9756. We've got other things to offer you as thank you gifts for your contributions to this listener-sponsored station. But we, above all, want to know you're out there, know that you support this station, and need to hear those phones rings in order to really connect with you, our listener, to know you're out there, to know that this station is essential for you as media listeners. 203-384-9756. Make that call right now. Don't wait.
And you know, Scott, I forgot to mention the solar wind-up radio, right? So you have a crank and solar-powered radio. And, you know, if we continue to bankrupt the country the way we are and the infrastructure starts to fail, you very well may need your own little hand crank radio.
Yeah, no, I was going to remember to say that because what we are looking at is a future. We're all going to be in the deep, dark woods in the short term here with our wind-up radios trying to figure out where to go.
So, surprisingly enough, I was just reading an article today where the lack of funds for infrastructure is actually turning out in a positive way in Seminole County, Florida. The county government no longer has the money to fluoridate the water. It turns out that it cost the government 31 cents per head to put fluoride in the water in Seminole County. And as a result, they no longer can afford to do it, and the poor aluminum manufacturers don't know what they're going to be able to do with their sodium fluoride, otherwise known as rat poison. But, you know, as a result, we actually have a benefit coming out of some of this.
Mm. Well, that's a silver lining, I guess.
Yes.
203-384-9756. Please make that call right now. We don't want to hear the sound of silence. We want to hear your phones ringing in our ears so we know the future of this station is on firm ground. Please call us and know that your contributions help us pay essential bills so we can remain on these airwaves. 203-384-9756. It won't come through checks from Morgan Stanley, Lehman Brothers, AIG, and it won't happen through Bear Stearns, okay? They're not writing us checks. They never did, and certainly they are not going to now. But call us right now and pledge understand that you are the only person that stands between us and the great abyss. So call us right now and ensure our survival. 203-384-9756. We really need to maintain and make healthy this platform for dissenting points of view and diversity of culture and music. Please make sure it's here tomorrow and the day after that. 203-384-9756. Make that call and pledge what you can. Get the book that we're offering. Get the water filter. Get the stainless steel thermos. Get the wind-up radio so that when the lights go out, the infrastructure fails, you have a way, without going to the store that maybe no longer exists, to buy batteries, you have a way to know what's going on in this country and in your neighborhood. 203-384-9756. Let's have that phone ring. Come on, we want to hear that phone ring now. We can't wait. It's got to happen. 203-384-9756.
Please call. JF and I are now chatting about cars back here, so we do need your support. We don't buy cars with your money. It just goes to pay the electric bill, keep the lights on, keep the signal going. It keeps us on the air, keeps us bringing you Scott's show week after week. Allows us to do, you know, the kinds of things that, you know, we know you like to hear. Everything from Blues Bob Shapiro on Thursday nights to Between the Lines with Scott every Monday night. And you often...
Come on.
Excuse me. I'm being yelled at back here.
Oh, no problem. It's it doesn't matter. But yeah, the important point is we're trying to incite your calls. We're trying to motivate you to go to your phone and make the calls because hey, who knows better than you why you like this station, what you find valuable in terms of music, information, discovering new artists, poetry, all that kind of thing. You know better than we do. I mean, we can throw things out there. We know what we like. We know what we do on these airways. We know what is broadcast here. But you know what your favorites are. You know why you are tuned to this frequency right now when we're haranguing you for money. Hey, you know, and that should be enough to motivate you to go over and pick up your phone and call us and pledge what you can. We got great premiums to offer you as thank you gifts. But apart from that, you know that this station deserves your support. So call us at 203-384-9756. You know the reasons why you should call. Please do it right now. Call us at 203-384-9756. It's been some dark years here we've lived through, but we've been able to shed light and maybe give some advance warning on some of these issues, such as the Iraq War, when the world was marching in the streets and the mainstream corporate media really wasn't giving much coverage at all to the worldwide protests before the U.S. invasion of Iraq in March 2003. The lies about weapons of mass destruction as it slowly reached the mainstream. We were ahead of the pack by months, if not an entire year. Please call us and support the notion for free speech, for providing a platform for dissenting points of view, which are an essential part of democracy. Please honor that. Please support that by phoning in a few dollars tonight and helping us pay the bill so we remain on these airwaves and we can do it again in the future. 203-384-9756. Make that call and don't let us down. It's 25 minutes to 10. We don't have much time here for our remaining part of this fun drive tonight. And I do have an interview, as I usually try to do, on the economic collapse on Wall Street. I've interviewed Bob Borisage, someone who is part of the Campaign for America's Future, someone who's been at the Institute for Policy Studies, someone who really has a very different view than the Wall Street analysts that are populating news articles and radio and TV talk shows in the last couple of days about this White House plan to bail out these investment banks to the tune of $700 billion. Almost $1 trillion of tax money is going to this bailout unless Congress really takes a stock of what is being done with our money. It's like an assessment of $2,000 to $3,000 in every man, woman, and child in this country. And what we have is the Treasury Secretary and President Bush saying they don't want any oversight. They don't want any court review. They want no interference in how this $700 billion, almost $1 trillion, is going to be spent. Anyway, that's the subject of the interview I want to bring you next. But unless we get some calls in, as is usually the case, I don't like it like this. If we had the phones filled up wall to wall while we've been asking for your pledges, I would, I'd put this on now. But I haven't heard the phones ring in some time now. We really do need to hear your call ring in our ears this very moment, and we can get to this analysis of this $700 billion bailout. Again, it's not going to be the kind of lock and stock thing you're hearing from the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and other analysts out there from the world of Washington and Wall Street. It's going to be a little different. Call us right now and pledge. Move us on to the next thing. Fill our little piggy bank right now so we can pay some bills, and we'll move on and bring you some essential and important coverage of the economic collapse that's going on before our very eyes here. 203-384-9756. Call us. Make that phone ring. 203-384-9756.
And Scott, I think it's safe to say that the interview will, really, do some justice to the subject, and it won't be the dumbed down version that you would be getting from the mainstream media as far as, trying to put this into a 30 some odd second soundbite. Thank you for that call. So that, greater mass of people out there can, maybe try and understand it a little bit. But, I, for one, would love to hear that interview. So if you could please call us, 203-384-9756.
Come on, we had one call. Let's get a few more to join that person and stack up the pledges one by one. Let's move on with something else more important than repeating the phone number. It's just important that you support a community institution that has over, you know, almost 45 years brung you all kinds of information and music and poetry. You know what you listen for. It's almost futile for me to get inside your head and tell you why you value this station. If you're listening now, again, we're haranguing you. We're repeating the phone number. We know there's something about the station you love. Otherwise, you would not be listening now. You would be watching a ball game, or you'd be watching a bad comedy show on cable or something. But you're not. You're listening to us because you're loyal. You like this station. You want to hear what happens next. Who knows what's going to happen next? We don't. And we're just trying to come up with some motivational words here to get you to your phone. Please call us at 203-384-9756. Lots of great premiums, in my view. We've got lots of wonderful music CDs that you may be attracted to. Water filters, canvas bags. We've got stainless steel thermos bottles. We've got books, People's History of the American Empire by Howard Zinn, The Way of the World, a book that we interviewed tonight, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Ron Suskind this evening. $50 contribution for that will get you the book. Add an extra $25, we'll give you the 45-minute audio CD of the interview conducted with him tonight and some of the post-publication information that wasn't known during the time of the book was published. And we also have Rising Powers, Shrinking Planet by Michael Clare, his warning to the world about endless wars unless we really get off the oil addiction, the carbon, fossil fuel addiction, and come up with some alternative monies to get alternative fuels off the ground. Also, the film documentary Blood and Oil, a DVD dealing with the history of how the United States foreign policy has been tied to access to oil since the time before World War II. Please call us at 203-384-9756 and make a pledge. Get one of these premium items or just call us and say, hey, you guys rock my world. I want you to make sure you're there tomorrow. And that's all we're asking right now is your pledge of support, whether you can have, pledge a few dollars or maybe you've survived this economic debacle thus far, feel fortunate, and want to share some of your wealth with us. That is fine. Either case, we do need to hear from you. And just hearing the phones ring is really a measure of moral support that we certainly bucks us up here and gives us some optimism about the future, which we all need right now. 203-384-9756. Again, I have usually about four interviews on each of my two-hour shows on Monday evenings, and again, fortunate and privileged to be here for as many years as I have, and try to uphold the tradition of PKN that was going on long before I got here. I got attracted to the station by listening to the likes of Kevin Gallagher and Mike Fedorka and many others, Mike Zito and a whole host of other old-timers that you long-time listeners will recognize their names. And, I really had my eyes open to a lot of what was going on in the world by listening to WPKN and other freeform stations that were on the air in those days. Well, many of those stations no longer survive. And right now, WPKN in this area is one of the few that have survived. And that's why we want to remain healthy and strong on these airwaves, carrying on the tradition of a community-based radio that's providing something different to our audience than you can get elsewhere in the consolidated media environment, the dumbed-down media environment that John was talking about. We're trying to be an antidote, an alternative to that, and have carried on that tradition for these 45 years. 203-384-9756. Uphold that tradition and preserve a piece of valuable radio real estate here, knowing that that the mission is important to you.
And thank you to Matt in Danbury, who let's have some other people call and let's not fall behind. And he really does appreciate, your show and your perseverance, and is very big fan of the show.
Thank you very much for that, Matt. And hopefully your words there will attract a few more callers. I've got this interview with Bob Borsage on the economic bailout, the $700 billion bailout. And this is all scheduled to happen within 3 days. There's a lot of pressure now from Wall Street basically saying, hey, if you guys don't bail us out, the whole damn house of cards is going to fall, and the next Great Depression will be on us. These guys are really blackmailing the country now to give taxpayer money without any strings attached. Of course, in other bailouts in the past, there have been strings attached. Even going back to the savings and loan debacle of the early 90s, there were strings attached there. The government took over these savings and loan institutions, sold them off later, essentially made our money back. But these guys, they want carte blanche. They want no strings attached, no oversight, and the Congress is about to vote on this. And this is all happening in such a compressed period of time that very few people will kind of grasp the issue and understand the urgency of, you know, contacting your members of Congress before it's all too late. 203-384-9756. Make that call now. Get us onto the next swing. We want to hear an analysis of what these critical decisions that are coming within hours here in Washington that many Americans are really not the least informed about. Maybe our congressional representatives don't know what the hell's going on. Hey, would that surprise you? No. They signed off on the Patriot Act without knowing what it said. And librarians and other people just practicing legal free speech rights have been harassed and thrown in jail and threatened with indictment. We live in some very perilous times, and information is critical. Please support one place where we do have a free flow of information that doesn't follow the dictates of Washington or Wall Street.
Those librarians are pretty tough there, Scott.
Yeah, they are. We actually honored them at an event a couple years back for standing up to the Patriot Act.
Actually, if you look at what's going on this week, Scott, as you're talking about, you know, if people don't call and people aren't informed or educated about what's going on, essentially we're going to be rewarding the same rats that put us into this place. You know, we're going to be basically giving the guys who created the whole mess a free ride. And
not only a free ride, we'll sort of allow them to be rewarded and you know, continue on with a lifestyle to which they've been accustomed.
And
which is, you know, six houses. John McCain doesn't know how many houses he has, but that's an example of the kind of wealth and poverty, the horrible contrast we have.
Don't forget who's helping out with the McCain campaign right now.
Yeah, you have lobbyists, of course.
Lobbyists who come right from
Fannie Mae.
Yes, and Wall Street.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of information that we'd like to get to, but right now we are in survival mode. Our fall fund drive is a week old, but we need to hear from you right now, and I want to get to the interview on what's going on in Washington, the critical decisions that will be made within days, within hours, that many Americans are not aware of. Please call right now. Get us, you know, so we can be financially secure and move on to the next thing. Call us and make a pledge. 203-384-9756.
And this is one bailout I think our listeners can understand.
That's right. This is very simple. We're not going to be buying luxury homes or yachts or islands in the Caribbean with your money. We're just going to pay light bills to the escalating, you know, quadrupling light bills and electric bills that we have here at the station, which is essential to power our transmitter and the like. You all know what that's like, and I know you're probably, many of you are hurting out there yourself. But do call and pledge a few dollars. Again, hearing that phone ring gives us some moral support that we need right now. Call us right now at 203-384-9756, and we'll move on with the Bob Borsage interview about the dramatic and critical decisions that are in the offing in Congress in the next day or two. 203-384-9756. Let's hear that phone ring one or two times more, and we'll move on with the interview. It's only about 13 minutes before 10 o'clock. We're out of here at 10, but you can blame me for starting this pitch segment late, but I thought Ron Suskind's message was too important to cut short. So I'll take the blame for that, but please help me make up lost ground right now with a phone call. 203-384-9756.
Well, you know what, Scott? There's no blame because, you know, at WPKN, there is no set format. Right? So, you know, it was important to get Ron's message out there. And, you know, don't worry about going into the next shift.
I should just mention here, we have a great event coming up this weekend. Friday, September 26th, 2 p.m. through Saturday, September 27th. At 6 p.m., a Beggar's Banquet Rolling Stones WPKN Marathon, 28 hours of continuous music of the Rolling Stones. So that's something to look forward to.
You know, it's just not the Rolling Stones. It's you know, different groups covering Stones songs. It's, you know, different styles of Rolling Stones songs. I was just, as I was flipping through my sort of playlist for maybe a little bit later on this evening, I stumbled across a copy of Jewel doing Wild Horses. You very well may hear that over the weekend or, you know, during the Stones Marathon.
Please give us a call. I really want to get this on in the next 2 minutes, but it's hard to do it when the phones aren't ringing. I feel guilty for not helping the station pay the bills that we need to continue to be on these airwaves. So I could just go to the interview and say, well, forget it, but, you know, our survival's at stake. We really need to hear from you, as many of you, in the next few minutes as we can.
And if you want,
we really have not heard from as nearly as many callers as we need to in the hour. And, you know, it's really up to all of us to work together here. So please make that call right now at 203-384-9756. It's just so important to get this done here now, and so we can move on with the interview. You know, I will get to the interview. I'm not going to blackmail anybody here, but I really would feel bad if we don't get a couple more calls in here. Please make that possible with ringing our phone.
Please call and keep Scott on the air, please.
203-384-9756. It's really your turn to call. Don't wait to the last minute. It's just the procrastination is not a good character trait right now in these urgent times. 203-384-9756. Please, I'm asking you right now to help us out.
We don't like that hockey stick of pledges. Like, I can tell you, any business does not like to see that hockey stick towards the end of the quarter, and we certainly don't want to see the hockey stick on, you know, come towards the end of the pledge time. Pledge now, pledge often, and just, you know, relieve yourself of that responsibility.
Let's hear that phone ring one more time. We got 1 minute left, and I'll get the interview on. And hey, you know that's happening. Just help us out, and it would just be a real boost to hear that phone ring after so many minutes of silence. Please call us at 203-384-9756. Thank you for that call.
Thank you for that call.
I appreciate that person stepping forward. Please help them out. You know, I want to make sure that before we go to the interview, which I'm going to go to right now, as promised, but, you know, please call. I know John and JF will be at the tally board answering phones over the next few minutes. So please make that call while this interview is playing, and understand that your role in preserving the station and its health is just critical. There's no one else we can turn to. Like I said, we don't have Lehman Brothers or Morgan Stanley or Bear Stearns. They're not writing checks to us, never did. We depend on you.
Are we taking any government money, nor are we taking money from GE or any of the other companies. It really is, you know, 100% community-sponsored, commercial-free, listener-supported radio.
And I'm going to go to the interview that I recorded just before our show got started earlier tonight, about 7 p.m., with Bob Borsage about the $700 billion bailout. So stay with us, and John, maybe we can check back with you to thank those who've called in the interim before we say goodnight.
Sure.
Okay, thanks. We're speaking with Robert Borsage, president of the Institute for America's Future and co-director of the Campaign for America's Future. Mr. Borsage has been a peace and social justice activist for many years, stretching back to his founding of the Center for National Security Studies and as director of the Institute for Policy Studies back in 1979. Bob Borsage, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
My pleasure.
I wanted to get your general view of the plans coming out of the White House and debate in Congress over this $700 billion, nearly a trillion-dollar bailout plan for these investment banks and the very shaky credit institutions in this country. What's your general reaction to that plan?
Well, the plan presented by Secretary Paulson is shocking and alarming. This is a plan that essentially says the Secretary will be given $700 billion to spend on any financial institution that he designates for any asset that he chooses at any price that he may find reasonable, with no review by any court of law or external body. It is a stunning, a staggering, anti-democratic, inconceivable plan. I mean, the audaciousness that would lead you to present something like that to the Congress is really just sort of unspeakable. And the notion that this administration, the most spectacularly corrupt administration in our history, would be given $700 billion to spend as they will is sort of frightening. So the Congress is now faced with this problem. On the one hand, you have the banking community saying, if you don't bail us out, we're going to bring down the entire world economy. And on the other hand, you have the administration saying, this bailout has to go forward in the next 2 days, and it needs to be simple, and it needs to be clear, and it needs to follow our plan. So the Congress is now wrestling with this. Senator Dodd has put forward an alternative bill that that has some sense. It has an independent board for oversight. It says that if we're going to bail out some of these financial institutions, we're going to take an ownership position in them so that if they are, if successful and they profit, the taxpayers get repaid. It says that if you're going to bail out Wall Street, you've got to help Main Street as well and take steps on renegotiating mortgages and helping people stay in their homes. Speaker Pelosi has said that we're not going to do this unless we have a stimulus plan of some kind, which will help benefit the real economy and put people back to work. So Democrats are starting to discuss at least elements of an alternative plan that makes more sense. Whether they have the courage to stand up to the administration and stand up to what will likely be a stock market that suddenly craters when they decide that the Congress isn't going along with the administration remains to be seen.
You've just written an article where you detail some of the conditions that you think should be tied with any bailout plan for these financial institutions that gives the taxpayers some advantages here in terms of future regulations as well as some payback later on down the road when things stabilize.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of common sense, right, if we're going to do this, which is an extraordinary, staggering sum of money, we've got to have some rules that apply. One of those is that we've got to have an independent board that's governing this, that it's not simply an insider deal with Paulson, who comes from Goldman Sachs, dealing with his former colleagues on Wall Street. Secondly, taxpayers have to get their interests protected. They've got to take equity in any firm that decides to partake to lay off their bad paper on us. And any firm that does that has got to be regulated and brought under severe investigation and regulation. Third, you've got to curb the casino on Wall Street, and you've got to extend regulations to companies to the shadow banking system that's grown up really without it. You've got to get the real economy growing so that prosperity comes from the bottom up. You've got to help homeowners who made the same bad bet that the bankers made. You can't simply leave them in the cold, and they should be part of this process. What would be nice is if you then had limits on executive compensation so that the executives who drove their companies into the ditch don't walk away with multi-million dollar compensation plans while leaving us with their bad debts. And then finally, to do any of this, my own sense is that Congress, if we, in an ideal world, would simply forswear any contributions from Wall Street PACs and executives, and we'd ban Wall Street lobbyists from the Beltway. Right now, this city is flooded with representatives of banks from across the world sending paid lobbyists into the city to make sure that they get a piece of this potential $700 billion, and I can tell you that kind of presence makes it almost impossible to have a plan that serves the public interest.
In your article, we're going to let it go there because we've run out of time, but I wanted to ask you, John, do we have anybody else to thank? I'm not sure if John's listening, but I'll thank you for everyone who did call. Appreciate your pledge this evening, and hopefully if you didn't pledge tonight, you will do so in the future, either later tonight, tomorrow, or next Monday when we're back on. So, if you don't remember the number, which would be impossible, we're going to give it to you one more time here at 203-384-9756, the number to call to pledge your contribution to this listener-sponsored station, WPKN in Bridgeport at 89.5 FM and WPKM in Montauk at 88.7 FM. And, again, we trust if you didn't pledge this evening, you will do so soon, and the time will be right, hopefully in one of the coming weeks while we're doing our fall fun drive. So, with that said, I want to thank you for listening this evening, and as I said, we'll be back next Monday evening between 8 and 10 with Counterpoint, doing some more fundraising and having some more special guests. But you can get a download of this program at 20—oh, excuse me, that's our phone number. The phone number at the station, want to volunteer for phone help or get in touch with any of us here, is 203-331-9756. Counterpoint can be downloaded at the website whiterosesociety.org. And Between the Lines Radio News Magazine, featuring some of the edited versions of these interviews, is you can download audio files as well as MP3 streaming files and podcasts. So that's found at btlonline.org, btlonline.org. And lastly, I want to mention we have a special event coming up this coming week, this coming weekend, September 27th. We have Michael Clare speaking in New Haven at 3 p.m. Event. The topic is oil, war, and the future of U.S. foreign policy tied in with the wars that we're certainly engaged in now and the coming conflicts if we don't wean ourselves off this oil addiction and do what we can as a nation to get into some alternative fuels. So, with that said, I'm going to play you a little announcement about that, and we'll make way. I think JF is up next, so stay tuned for JF, and take note. We hope we'll see you at the Michael Clare event this coming Saturday at the Arts Hall of the Educational Center for the Arts in New Haven, 55 Audubon Street in New Haven. Stay tuned, and we'll bring you this message right now.
Oil. Is it about oil?
Regime change is welcome in whatever form it takes.
I'm not saying that they believed it was about oil. I'm saying it is about oil and that I believe it was necessary to get Saddam out of there.
One of the world's most respected authorities on resource geopolitics, Michael T. Clare, is coming to New Haven on Saturday, September 27th to discuss how increased competition for diminishing energy resources is reshaping the world's economic and political landscape that may well lead to a future of increased global instability and endless war. This public forum dealing with one of the most pressing issues in this year's presidential election campaign is titled Oil, War, and the Future of American Foreign Policy and will be held from 3 to 5:30 p.m. Saturday, September 27th at the Arts Hall at the Educational Center for the Arts, 55 Audubon Street, corner of Orange Street in New Haven, Connecticut. The discussion will be preceded by a screening of the film documentary Blood and Oil, The Dangers and Consequences of America's Dependency on Foreign Petroleum, based on Clare's book. Net proceeds from the event will benefit Squeaky Wheel Productions, nonprofit distributor of Between the Lines Radio News Magazine, broadcast nationwide, and co-sponsors the Greater New Haven Peace Council and the New Haven León, Nicaragua Sister City Project. Seating is limited and advance reservations are recommended. For more information, directions, or to make reservations, call area code 203-268-8446 or visit us on the web at squeakywheel.net. That's Michael Clare discussing the global energy crisis, U.S. foreign policy, and the presidential election, Saturday, September 27th from 3 to 5:30 p.m. in New Haven. For more information and reservations, call 203-268-8446 or visit squeakywheel.net.
And if we continue to rely on military force to solve our resource needs, we're in for a very bloody and dangerous and painful century indeed.
Let us choose the time. Capital, it fills us now. Congress, let us seize the time.
Switch on. Ah, there we go. Tell you what, we'll start from the beginning. Here we go. Lost State of Franklin.
Yeah.